They realize she's not the girl they're looking for. She's still the most obvious threat, out in the open and pointing a pair of pistols at the Moogs. Obvious threat, and also an easy target. "Sarah! To your left!" I shout, raising a block of cover from the floor for her to hide behind. She dives to safety, just as the Mogadorians open fire. Smoke starts filling the room from the nozzles along the walls. Some of the Moogs look confused. Most are only interested in blasting away at Sarah. A few shots begin ricocheting off the front of the lectern, and I hunker down in the seat, trying to make myself small. I hope this thing is strong enough to withstand some blaster fire. Above the shooting, I can hear the lecture hall whirring to life. A half dozen panels along all four walls slide open, turrets loaded with ball bearings coming into view. "Stay down!" I yell at Sarah. "It's starting!" A crossfire erupts through the lecture hall, the Moogs caught in the middle. This drill is meant to help the guard practice their telekinesis, not maim them. So the marble-sized ammo being shot out of the walls doesn't travel fast enough to kill the Moogs. Still, it has to sting like hell. Between that and the medicine balls suddenly swinging from the ceiling, I'd say they have their hands full. I dive out of the lectern. A ball bearing smacks me hard in the shoulder before I can make it to the ground. My arm is sore, but I manage to press myself flat, watching as the Moogs are bludgeoned from all angles. Seeing me, Sarah sends one of her guns sliding across the floor. I pick it up and crouch down behind the lectern. Sarah and I have the only two pieces of cover in the room. We open fire. It doesn't matter that we don't have the best aim. The Mogadorians are basically sitting ducks. With all the shooting coming from the walls, they're starting to panic. Many of them are knocked down to their knees by the turrets or the medicine balls, at which point Sarah and I pick them off. Some make a break for the door. If they manage to stagger that far, all they get for their trouble is a bullet in the back. Only a minute has passed in the lecture hall's training routine before the room is completely cleared of Moogs. The guard usually have to endure 7 minutes before they get a break during the training portion. I guess they don't have anyone shooting real bullets at them, though. I reach up and slap the controls on the lectern until the system shuts down. "That worked!" Sarah yells, sounding almost surprised. "We got them, Sam!" As Sarah stands up, I notice a burn mark on the outside of her left leg. Her jeans are torn. The skin beneath them, a burned pinkish, where it isn't bleeding. "You've been shot!" I exclaim. Sarah looks down. "Crap, I didn't even notice! Must have just grazed me!" As the adrenaline dies down, Sarah limps over to me. I put my arm around her for support, and we move as fast as we can out of the lecture hall. We grab more guns on our way out. I tuck a second pistol into the back of my jeans, just in case I run out of ammo. Sarah drops her spent handgun and grabs some crazy-looking lightweight machine gun, the kind of thing I used to believe didn't exist outside of action movies. "You know how to use that thing?" I ask. "They all work pretty much the same," she replies. "You just point and click." I could almost laugh if I wasn't so worried about my dad and the comatose John and Ella. We don't hear any sounds of fighting as we pass through the wrecked workshop, picking our way carefully over the junk we knocked over. The penthouse is eerily quiet. I'm not sure if that's a good sign or a bad sign. I poke my head into the hallway. There's no sign of anyone. The floor is covered with Mogadorian ash. But otherwise, all is quiet. The loudest sound is the wind blowing through the building, thanks to the Moogs having broken every single window on their way in.
"Do you think we got them all?"
Sarah whispers. In answer, we hear a shuffling noise from the roof that sounds like boots running across it. There must be more Mogadorians still up there, and they'll be massing for a second wave any second now, as soon as they figure out their first group has failed. "We need to get out of here now," I say, helping Sarah limp along. We hurry down the hallway. Bernie Kosar lumbers into view, still in bear form. He looks wounded, his entire right side smoking from blaster burns. He stares at me, as if he's trying to communicate something. I wish I had John's animal telepathy. He seems sad somehow. Sad, but determined.
You okay, Bernie?
Sarah asks. BK grunts and takes the shape of a falcon. He soars towards the window and out, flying up. He must be going to hold off the remaining Moogs on the roof while we evacuate John and Ella. I realize now what that look BK was giving me meant. He was saying goodbye, just in case it's the last we see of him. I suck in a deep breath. Come on, let's go, I say quietly. There's an overturned bookshelf blocking the doorway to Ella's room. It's peppered with bullet holes. Obviously, this was what my dad used for cover. Dad? I whisper.
It's clear. Let's go.
No response.
Dad?
I say louder, a tremor in my voice. Still nothing. I slam my shoulder hard against the bookshelf, but it's wedged tight. I feel sick. Desperate. Why isn't he answering?
Up there,
Sarah says, pointing. There's a space large enough to crawl through between the bookshelf and the top of the doorframe. I clamber up and over, scraping my knees on the protruding shelves, landing awkwardly on the other side. It only takes seconds, but that's time enough to imagine my dad riddled with blaster fire, John and Ella murdered in their sleep.
Dad?
My breath catches. It feels like time slows down. I stagger towards the bed, on wobbly legs.
Dad?
John and Ella look unharmed, and still in their comatose state, completely unaware of the chaos unfolding around them, and completely unaware that my father's body is draped across them. His eyes are closed. He's bleeding from a gaping wound over his abdomen. Both of his hands are clenched there, like he's trying to hold himself together. His spent rifle is discarded on the floor. His bloody handprints running up and down the handle. I wonder how long he kept fighting after he was shot. Sarah gasps as she climbs over the bookshelf.
Oh no, Sam.
I don't know what to do, except take his hand. It's cold. Tears start filling my eyes. I realize that in one of the last conversations I had with my father, I basically called him a traitor.
So sorry, I whisper.
I almost jump out of my skin when my dad squeezes my hand. His eyes are open. I can tell he's having trouble focusing on me, and realize that his glasses are gone, smashed somewhere during the fight.
I protected them as long as I could,
my dad says, his voice strangled, fluid, bubbling up from inside him, and trickling from the corner of his mouth.
Come on, we're getting out of here,
I reply, kneeling down next to him. A shadow of pain crosses his face. He shakes his head.
Not me, Sam. You have to go on your own.
A howl rises above the fighting on the roof. Bernie Kosar, desperate and in agony. Sarah touches my shoulder gently.
Sam, I'm sorry. We don't have long.
I shrug away from Sarah's hand, shaking my head. I glare at my dad, tears now running freely down my cheeks.
No,
I hiss angrily.
You're not leaving me again.
Sarah tries to squeeze past me and drag Ella's body out from beneath him. I don't help. I know I'm being stupid and selfish, but I can't let him go this easily. I've spent my entire life looking for him, and now it's all falling apart.
Sam, go,
he whispers.
Sam,
Sarah pleads, cradling Ella in her arms.
You have to grab John and we have to go.
I stare at him. He nods slowly, more blood spilling out from the side of his mouth.
Go, Sam,
he says. I won't, I say, shaking my head, knowing it's the wrong thing and not caring.
Not unless you come too.
But it's too late anyway. The wire hanging outside the window goes taut as a Mogadorian rappels inside. We've taken too long, and Bernie Kosar wasn't able to stop them. The second wave is upon us.
Chapter 34. Bubbles break the surface of the swamp where Nine is still underwater. He's been pinned down there for almost a minute. I take a step towards the edge, wanting to dive in and save Nine, but not sure if Five will let me. He's watching me closely, an eyebrow raised, like he's wondering how Eight and I will react. "Where's the real number Five?" asks Eight, his voice low. "What did you do with him?" Five's brow furrows in confusion. Then he smiles. "Oh, you think I'm Cetricus Ra?" Five says, shaking his head. "It's cool, Eight. I'm the real deal. No shape-shifting tricks." As if to demonstrate, Five reaches down with his free hand and opens the lock on his chest. He clicks it shut again and glances over at us. "See?" Eight and I remain frozen in place, not sure what to do. "Let Nine out of the water, Five," I say, trying to keep my voice level, as far from panic as possible. "In a second," he replies. "I want to talk to you two without Six and Nine around to interrupt." "Why? Why would you attack us?" Eight asks, sounding angry and disbelieving. "We're your friends." Five rolls his eyes. "You're my species," he replies. "That doesn't make us friends." "Just let Nine out of the water and we'll talk," I plead. Five sighs and lifts Nine up. He's gasping for air, his eyes fiery and enraged, still trapped in Five's strangling grip. Try as he might, Nine can't find any way loose. "Not so strong now, huh?" taunts Five. "Okay, deep breath, bro." He dunks Nine back under the water. Meanwhile, Six is unmoving. Her head is cocked at an uncomfortable angle, and a huge bruise is forming along her jaw. Her breath seems shallow. I start towards her, wanting to heal her, but feel Five's telekinesis gently shoving me back. "Why are you doing this?" I shout at him, tears filling my eyes. He looks almost taken aback when I yell at him. "Because you two were nice to me," he says, like it should be obvious. "Because unlike Nine and Six, I don't think you've been brainwashed by your Sapons into thinking resistance is the only way forward. Eight, you proved that in India when you let those soldiers die for you." "Don't talk to me about that," hisses Eight. "I never meant for anyone to get hurt." "Brainwashed?" I exclaim. "Did you say we're brainwashed?" "It's okay," Five says, placating us. "The beloved leader is forgiving. He'll welcome you. There's still time to join the winning team." "The winning team? I can't believe what I'm hearing." My stomach turns over. I feel like I'm about to throw up. It can't be true. "You're working with them?" "I'm sorry I lied to you about that, but it was necessary. I'd been on this planet for 6 months when they found me," says Five, sounding wistful. "My Sapon was already dead of some vile human disease. That part was true. It just didn't happen when I said. The Mogadorians took me in. They helped me. Once you read the good book, you'll understand that we shouldn't be fighting them. This whole planet, the whole universe can be ours." "They did something to you, Five," I say, almost whispering, feeling both sad for Five and horrified by him. "It's okay. We can help you." Just let 9 go, adds 8. We don't want to hurt you. Hurt me? Repeats 5, laughing. That's a good one. He yanks 9 out of the water and hurls his body against the gnarled tree. I try to use my telekinesis to stop 9's flight, but it happens too quickly, and 5 is too powerful. 9 smacks spine first against the trunk with enough force to shake the uppermost branches. He cries out, his body contorted, and I can tell that he's broken some ribs, maybe even his back. Do you have any idea how dull it was pretending to be weak? 5 asks, his rubbery arm slithering back to his body, appearing normal again. You were trained by pitiful Saipans, if you're lucky, mucking about with your chests and your legacies always in the dark. I was trained by the most powerful fighting force in the universe, and you're threatening to hurt me? Pretty much, yeah, replies 8. 8 shapeshifts into his 10-armed lion form, towering over 5. But before 8 can go on the attack, 5 blows into his flute. The mutant gator, which had been waiting patiently, suddenly leaps into the air and slams into 8. It's all thrashing wings and snapping jaws, 8's clawed hands slashing in response. The two mammoth beasts crashing into the mud and rolling over each other. With a mildly entertained look on his face, 5 turns to watch 8 scrapping with his pet monster. Don't hurt each other, 5 calls to them. We can all still be friends. I'm not sure if 5 is joking or if he's really that insane. The important part is that he's distracted. 9 moans from the base of the tree. He's trying to push himself upright, but his legs don't seem to be working. Meanwhile, 6 isn't moving. I'm not sure which one needs my care more urgently. 6 is closer to me, so I scramble over and fall to my knees next to her, pressing my hands to her injured skull. Suddenly, I'm lifted off the ground. My feet dangle in the air. It's 5. He's holding me up using his telekinesis. Stop! I yell at him. Just let me heal her! 5 shakes his head, disappointed. I don't want her healed. She's like 9. She'll never understand. Don't fight me, Marina. A branch strikes 5 in the back of his head. He loses his concentration, and I drop back to the ground. 5 whips around just in time to see 9 tearing loose another branch with his telekinesis. Cute! 5 says, easily deflecting 9's next volley. Come on! Growls 9, who has managed to struggle into a sitting position against the tree. I don't need my legs to get your fat ass! Talking shit until the very end, sighs 5. You know what's happening in Chicago right now? Your fancy suite is getting raided by Mogadorians. I want you to die knowing your bullshit palace is burning to the ground, 9. You told them about Chicago? I shout. My shock is real, but when 5 glances back at me, I see an opportunity. He likes the sound of his own voice. Well, I can use that to distract him. 9 is in no condition to fight. I need to buy him some time. How could you do that? What about Ella and the others? Ella will be fine, 5 says. The beloved leader wants her alive. He wants her alive? For what? I thought he wanted us all dead. 5 merely smiles. He turns back to 9. What's he want with her, 5? I scream, feeling a fresh rush of panic. He ignores me and stalks towards 9. I hope 9 can withstand him long enough for me to heal 6. I scramble back over to her and hold her head in my lap. Her skull is cracked. Her nose and jaw